Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Life Church. We had such a great turnout on Christmas Eve, almost 500 in our 6 p.m. service and almost 700 total. It was an amazing night, over 700 total. We pray you've had an amazing Christmas holiday with your family and friends, and it's just been a great, great week. I hope you've had a great Christmas season. Thank you for being in the house with us this morning as we close out our year. If you're joining us online, we're excited to have you with us today. Why don't we welcome all of our guests that are joining us online and members that are online today. Thank you for being with us. I know over the last few weeks we focused a lot on our time of Christmas, and rightly so. If there's ever a time to focus on the birth of Christ, this is the season to do so. And so I'm hoping you'll allow me one last trip to Matthew chapter 1 this morning. This won't be a Christmas message, but I do believe it would be a message that could be a challenge, that will really challenge how we're thinking really every day of our lives, not just at Christmas time, if we will embrace the truth of it. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 22, let me explain what Matthew is doing here before we read the text. He is telling us the story of the birth of Jesus. He tells us how the angel visits Mary and explains to her that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And then that's quite the birth or the pregnancy test. And then Mary tells Joseph that she was pregnant, and Joseph was considering breaking his engagement to Mary. And then an angel appears to Joseph and reassures him that indeed it was as Mary had said by the Holy Spirit, and the child that she would birth would be named Jesus, and that he would indeed save his people from their sins. And then, according to Matthew, Joseph wakes up from this dream that he was having where the angel spoke to him, and he marries Mary, and they go to Bethlehem, and they have Jesus, and all the things happen. The shepherds, the wise men, the escape to Egypt, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, the Christmas trees, the tinsel, the candy canes, the, you know, elves, and all the things, you know. Come on, lighten up, guys, it's Christmas. But right in the middle of the narrative of this story of the birth of Jesus, Matthew stops in verse 21. Joseph is asleep. He's having a dream. In verse 24, Joseph wakes up from the dream. But in verse 22 and 23, Matthew stops and he gives us some important backstory that he thought was so critical that he interrupted the narrative to tell us why it was so important. And that's what I want to focus on today, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen. It says, all of this occurred. What occurred? The whole Christmas story, Mary being pregnant by the Holy Spirit, Joseph having a dream to find out that indeed was the truth, Mary being married to Joseph. All of that occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Which prophet? Isaiah. Which is something that occurred in Isaiah chapter 7. The Lord gave Isaiah a prophecy to the people of Israel in Isaiah chapter 7. And that prophet, the prophecy was this, verse 23, look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, Emmanuel was not to be the child's name. The child's name would be Jesus, because he was going to save his people from their sins. But Emmanuel would be what they would call him. In other words, it would be what he would accomplish. It would be ultimately his purpose. It would be what he would fulfill, and that he would be God with us. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. That's what the title of my message is, God with Us. Could we pray just for a moment? Father, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. I thank you, Lord, that when we gather together, we know that we are together because your presence is with us and we can experience you and know you. But I'm also thankful, Lord, that when we leave here, we don't leave you here. You go with us. You are a part of our lives. You are with us every day. You are an intricate part of who we are and a part of what we do. You walk the aisles of our life, God. You are in our homes. You are a part of our life every day. We never leave you. You never leave us. You are a part of who we are, and I'm so thankful, God. You've weaved yourself into the fabric of our DNA, and I can't make it a day without you. You are a part of my breath, and I'm thankful today, God, that you are a part of who I am. God, you are indeed with us, and I am so thankful today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Through the incarnation, the birth of Jesus, the incarnation is a fancy word, but the birth of Jesus, this was not just another baby being born, but rather a revelation of God's desire for his people, his desire ultimately to be with us and to be in relationship with us. Throughout the Old Testament, we find God reminding his people, "Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be afraid, the Lord thy God is with thee." Even in Psalm 23, the most popular psalm in all of the Bible, there's a part of that passage that says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm with you. There's this idea that God is with us always, all throughout the Old Testament. The Lord thy God being with thee. Over and over, the reminder of the nearness or the closeness of God. There's this desire for a deeper relationship, a closeness that only nearness can bring. God saw hurting people. He saw lonely people. He saw lost people. And the compassion of God's heart kept drawing him ever closer to his creation until divinity became humanity. As Pastor read last week, it says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the word or the logos, the plan of God, ultimately became human and made his home among us. The God of the universe chose to forsake the glory of the throne room, humble himself into the squalor of humanity, and become like us. Why? I don't know. I'd like to tell you that I have all the answers, but I don't. I can tell you what I think, though, this morning. I think he did it because he wanted to understand what it's like to be you. So many in this life are quick to give advice, and they give it from a platform of a lack of understanding to tell you how to fix your problems. Let me tell you how to fix all the homelessness. Although the person shouting the loudest has never been homeless. Let me tell you how to fix all the unemployment. Although the person with the loudest talk has never been unemployed. Let me tell you how to fix your problem. Yet rarely the people doing the talking are the ones who have actually been through the experience. But the Bible tells me that Jesus was in all points tempted just like we are, yet he did it without committing sin. And because he was able to do it and not fall into the same sinful activities that I fall into when I go through it, it gives me hope today. Because God came near and he lived in the flesh that in me makes me not be able to make it through without sin. It gives me hope because he lived in the same rotten, stinking, sinful flesh that causes me to fall, and he did it without falling. And guess what? If he can do it in this flesh, so can I. Because he came near, it gives me hope that I can make it through too. He came close enough to experience my life. He came close enough to know what it's like to walk in my shoes and to live my life and understand my world. He came down and robed himself in flesh, and he lived life like me with the hopes that someday I could become like him. And so he's been there, and he understands my dilemma, and he knows what it's like to be human, to feel my emotions, to feel my frustrations. He knows what it's like to be me. And the Bible says that God is with me. The concept of Emmanuel, it's really the truth of the gospel. The whole gospel is wrapped up in this concept. I'd go so far as to say it's the overwhelming theme of the entire Bible. When God created mankind in the Garden of Eden, his goal was to have people or someone that he could have relationship with. He would come down in the cool of the day and have time with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And when Adam and Eve sinned and broke that relationship, that did not stop his desire to have relationship with mankind. He found men and women that he could have relationship with throughout the Old Testament. He had men like Enoch and Noah and men that he could have relationship with. And then he had relationships with a man named Abraham. And then with Sarah. And then it continued on through Abraham's family as he began to build relationship with a family. And then it became a nation. And that relationship began to grow until he began to see that even though he had relationship with this nation, it still wasn't enough. It still wasn't enough to meet the necessary requirements that he had for that relationship. It wasn't meeting the sin requirement. Because even though he had relationship with them, there were still these things that were separating what was between him and them that was causing these separations. Sin was causing the breakdown. And so he came in the form of a human, and he began to live amongst us in the form of a human, Jesus Christ. And then he died for us. Because he recognized that we needed a substitutionary sacrifice that would take our place, because guess what? We needed that too. And in doing so, guess what? He made sure that we had an opportunity to not only have someone that could have relationship with us while he was on the earth for 33 and a half years. He said, if I go away, I will send my comforter that will come back. And guess what? I can be with everyone always, and I will not be only with you, but I will be in you. And he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And guess what? Now when I walk down the street, I'm not walking next to him. He's walking in me. And so it's really the overwhelming explanation of the entire Bible that God came to be with us. The concept has dominated my mind over the last month, if I'm being honest. I told my wife last week, I cannot get it off my mind. I keep hearing Christmas songs that have Emmanuel playing in them. And over in my head this year, I hear them. And I wonder if anyone who is listening even recognizes the power of the words that they are singing. Words have power. This baby was to be born. And while the name on his birth certificate was to be Jesus, Savior, the revelation of his purpose was to be Emmanuel, God with us. I keep thinking about this idea of God being with us. Sometimes we live our lives in such a way that we lose sight of the fact that God is with us. We are not alone. He is with us. We are not abandoned. He is with us. We are not isolated. He is with us. We are not under attack. He is with us. Because he is ever with us, he is our Emmanuel, God with us. And so today, I just have three simple points, and I hope that these points will help someone today as they realize that God is with you. The first one is this: God is with us in our brokenness. The first thing I think we have to understand is that God's presence is with us, and it's not about perfection or power, but it is about his presence in the middle of our weakness and brokenness. The context of Matthew 1:23 is significant. When the angel spoke to Joseph, Mary was pregnant and unmarried. Joseph, being a righteous man, was initially considering breaking off their engagement quietly to protect Mary from public shame and scandal. But in the midst of that scandalous situation, God intervenes and tells Joseph that Mary's pregnancy is part of his divine plan. The child would be named Emmanuel, which meant God with us. In other words, God's plan was to enter into our world at its messiest and brokenest point. When we hear the name Emmanuel, we're reminded that God's love is not abstract or distant. It's not far off. He comes to us in our mess and offers hope right where we are. This morning, whether you're facing relational struggles, financial stress, emotional pain, God's promise is that he is with you. Not after you've fixed everything, but right now, in the middle of it all, Jesus came into a broken world, and he comes into our broken lives. The beauty of the gospel is that God doesn't wait for us to have it all together before he enters into our lives. In fact, it's precisely because of our brokenness that he shows up at all. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4 says, "It was our weakness that he carried, It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. The suffering he endured at the cross was because of our brokenness. It is in our weakness that he is made strong. He endured because of my brokenness. He was willing to be broken because I am broken. He comes down into the middle of where we are. He is not afraid of the situation you are in. Prison cells don't scare him. Crack houses don't scare him. Hospital rooms don't scare him. Homeless encampments don't scare him. Nor do beautiful homes with dysfunctional families, do they scare him. Nor do people that wear masks in public but homes that fall apart behind closed doors, they don't scare him. Nor do those with hidden sin and private struggles, they don't scare him. Our messes don't scare him. We may have had beautiful Christmas parties and put the bows on all perfect and right, but he's not afraid of what we put behind and underneath the surface. It doesn't make him afraid and run him off because we got stuff. He is attracted to our mess. Why? Because in the middle of our mess, he knows how to fix it, and he loves us anyway. Your hurt is his hurt. He endured the cross, the pain, the struggle, the mess, for all of our messes. And he's not afraid to come down into the middle of yours today because he is still Emmanuel, God with us. This, I hope, brings comfort to somebody today. God is not afraid of your mess. He is with us in it. He offers healing, comfort, hope right in the middle of our mess. My second point is this today. God is with us in our loneliness. The second truth I think we can learn from Matthew 1:23 is that God is with us in the midst of our loneliness. At the time of Jesus' birth, Israel had been waiting for a Messiah for centuries. They were living under Roman oppression and many felt abandoned by God. It was a time of silence from heaven, no prophetic word for over 400 years. The people felt isolated and forgotten. They lived in a season of spiritual darkness. But into that darkness, God spoke and he sent his son Jesus as the fulfillment of the promise of Emmanuel, God being with us. This is not just a theological truth. This is a very real, tangible presence of God coming to his people. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt isolated, disconnected, forsaken? It's not a trick question. Am I the only one? You ever shouted at the ceiling in prayer and felt like it was made of just steel and it bounced back on you? Am I the only one? You ever prayed and felt like the heavens were brass? You ever looked at your phone thinking, wishing somebody would call and felt so isolated and nobody did? You ever felt lonely? Yeah. There's not just physical loneliness, there's spiritual loneliness too. It's okay to admit it this morning. God is with us in our loneliness. This season, with all the gatherings and connectings and parties and all the things that are happening with this season, more people struggle with loneliness than ever. It can be tough. People that are struggling with isolation and loneliness feel so alone. And even in the midst of all kinds of stuff, they can walk into this room filled with all these people and still feel completely and totally alone. The promise of Emmanuel is this: in the midst of all of this people, even though you might feel alone, you still are not alone because God is with us. He is not distant or indifferent to your loneliness. You may feel lonely, but with Jesus, you are never alone. Through Christ, he entered into the human experience of loneliness and suffering so that we would know that we are never truly alone. Think about it. Jesus, fully God and fully man, walked among us enduring the same human experiences, including loneliness. He was misunderstood by his family. Anybody ever been misunderstood by your family? If I could get them both up, I would, but better not try that with that ankle. He was betrayed by his friends. He was abandoned by his disciples in the hour of his greatest need. Even on the cross, he felt abandoned by God. He said, God, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He understands what it's like to feel lonely. What is loneliness? Loneliness is a deep universal ache. We've all felt it at one time or another. In a world that's more connected than ever, many still find themselves isolated, yearning for companionship, understanding, and love. It's easy to think that loneliness is a sign of weakness or failure, but in truth, it is a profound opportunity for growth. Now, let's see, I flipped that. Y'all weren't expecting that one. In our moments of solitude, I believe God invites us to encounter our truest selves, away from distraction and away from the opinions of others. This space, though painful at times, can become a place where God's presence becomes even clearer. Jesus understands loneliness. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed alone, even as his closest friends fell asleep. But in that moment, he found communion with the Father, a deeper connection than the world could offer him. Loneliness reminds us that we are human, but we are in need of the divine. Our lonely moments are a reminder that we need to reach out to Emmanuel, the God who is with us. It's not ever that he leaves us. It's usually that we forget our need for him. Loneliness reminds us to reach out first to God and then to others. We are never truly alone, for God is with us in our most desolate places. And through him, we are given grace to connect to God, to love, and to heal the isolation of our hearts. In counseling, we talk a lot about changing our thoughts, about even reframing our thoughts. What if when we felt lonely, instead of seeing loneliness as a negative, we recognized our lonely moments as an invitation to connect to God, to seek his love, and then to extend that love to someone else who may also feel forgotten? What if we saw our lonely moments as a chance for us to pull closer to God than we've ever been, and then extend that closeness to someone else who may feel distant from God as well? Because God is with us even in our lonely moments. My third point today is this: God is with us in our salvation. The name Emmanuel, finally today, points us to the ultimate reason God came to be with us, our salvation. Salvation is an amazing concept. I don't know that we always fully can understand all that God accomplishes with salvation. The reality is this: we, everybody in this room, every human being who has ever lived, ever been born, we all deserve punishment because we all are sinners, because we were all who were born, we all sin. Now, I don't know how many of y'all heard the word all in there, but I said all a lot because all means all, and we all do it. Even all the people in the room who don't want to admit that they do. All. If you don't believe that that's true, just observe children at about the age of 2. Something happens to them. They go from being sweet and nice into rebellion that takes over, and you know the rest of the story. Some of you are going, not my Johnny, not my Susie. The first time they kick you in the shin for absolutely no reason, you are going to remember this moment. You're going to make an appointment with me and say, I was right. There was she's about 4, I think, on Christmas Eve. I mean, Santa was coming. You would think if there was ever a time, and based on Facebook, Santa still came, so I don't know about the naughty and nice list. But she kicked the fire out of my shin for no reason at the Christmas Eve service, right down here in the front. I got a bruise to prove it. So me and Santa, we gotta talk. Yeah, got to talk about that. So, don't tell me yours doesn't qualify. Everybody, all have sinned and come short. We were all in need of something that none of us could provide. And yet Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, God with us, came and he died that we might have hope, that we might have life, that we might have the opportunity to break free from the oppression of sin and have a chance to live a new life through him. The truth of Emmanuel, God with us, is ultimately tied to his purpose, which John tells us in John 3:17, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God with us means salvation is made available to us. Because of Jesus, we can have a relationship with God, freed from the power of sin and given the hope of eternal life with him. John 3:16 says this, for this is how God loved the world. You ever wonder why John 3:16 is so popular? I just want you to understand the hope that is found in John 3:16. That's why people all over the world, they don't know the Bible at all, but they know John 3:16. That's why it shows up at stadiums and everywhere else. It'll even show up at a wrestling event. John 3:16 matters because it gives hope to people that they don't know anything else. This is why it matters. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everybody who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God's ultimate presence with us is not just a comforting idea. It is a transformative reality. Jesus came to save us, not from temporary discomforts, but from the eternal consequences of our sin. Let me say that one more time because I don't think everybody gets that. Many people come to Jesus and they think he's going to remove them out of the momentary distresses of life. Jesus comes to be with us in the momentary distresses of life, but he came to save us from the eternal consequences of our sin. He did not come to get you out of your messes. He came to go through your messes with you and to save you from the eternal consequences of our sin. Through his death and resurrection, we are offered forgiveness and a new life in Christ. The Bible tells us that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And if our praise team would come, if I could end my year with an understanding of one thing, it would be this, that God is with me. And if I could put it into your brain for you to understand one thing as we end this year, it would be this, that God is with you. There's so many people walking around with broken holes in their mind and in their heart, searching for answers, and they don't know what the answer is. This would be the answer I would give them if they would surrender their life to Jesus, the Emmanuel of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 and 22. God is with us. Going into a new year with that knowledge that you are not going alone. No matter what challenge you may be facing, no matter what valley is ahead, no matter what mountain you need to climb, no matter what wilderness you may be going through, no matter what storm is coming, no matter if you feel broken, no matter if you feel lonely, no matter if you feel lost, today, the knowledge that you are not alone because God is with you can carry you into a new year. One more time, back to our text, Matthew 1:22. All of this occurred, the entire Christmas story, to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she'll give birth to a son. They'll call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So today, what does it really mean for us? In both Deuteronomy and Hebrews, God tells us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. His spirit, according to John 14 and John 16, dwells inside of us. When we are lost, he is with us as a guide. When we are alone, he is with us as a companion. When we're hurting, he is with us as a comforter. When we're afraid, he is with us as peace. When we are sick, he is with us as a healer. When we are weak, he is with us as strength. When we are dead and lost in our sins, he is with us as our Savior. He is Emmanuel. He is Jesus who came to save his people from their sins. He is God with us. And I am so thankful today. He is with us. He is for us. He loves us. And he desires a relationship with each and every one of us. If you'd all stand with me all over this auditorium. Last month or so, I've been suffering with some health issues and trying to deal with all the things, deals with that. You know how it is when you get focused on stuff. Sometimes you just get tunnel vision, right? You just focus so much on those things, and it's hard to deal with all the other things in life. And so just been focused so much on all those things. You ever seen somebody with like earbuds in? Maybe they're sitting at their computer with the earbuds in, and they're just focused, right? And they're hearing what's here, and they're focused on the computer, and they don't see anything else. All they see is that, and they hear that. And like somebody could come to the door. They could, hey, not, they don't see them. They could yell their name, they don't hear them. All they're focused on is what they got going on right in front of them. And I feel like that's where I've been. I've prayed, talked to God, didn't hear nothing, you know. Feel like the ceiling was brass, you know, like I said earlier, like been praying and talking to the ceiling and nothing comes back. And I think sometimes it's because I'm so focused on what's right in front of me, I'm not really open to whatever God's got going on. And sometimes the only way to get through to us in those moments is God's got to get a message through to somebody else to get it in front of us, right? And so this past week, as I've been tunnel vision, thinking God done forgot about me, thinking life is just a whatever, and God's still with me. So certainly I should be able to hear from him because he's with me, right? You would think. And I got three different people over the last week have sent me text messages saying, hey, just wanted you to know God is with you. Hey, just wanted you to know. And I thought about it. I thought, you know, it's kind of like this. I'm just clicking away. I got my earbuds in, and God's hollering at me, and he can't get through because I've got tunnel vision. So he had to send my friend over to tap me on the shoulder. Say, hey, God's trying to talk to you, dingbat. Would you listen? Maybe that's what God's trying to do to you today. It's not that God left you. It's not that God is ignoring you. It's not that God has forgotten about you. Maybe you just focused on some other things right now. Circumstances have surrounded you, and life has gotten a little chaotic, and your eyes are just focused on some other things. And God's trying to get your attention this morning to remind you that he's still with you, that he's still for you, that he's still got you in the palm of his hand. That his plans haven't changed, that his future is still secure with you, that the things that he dreamed for you have not changed, that he's still working on your behalf, and that he's still got hope for you that you haven't even dreamed of yet. So they're getting ready to sing Believe For It, and I believe some people are believing for some amazing things in this coming year, and I believe God wants to bring those things to pass. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus in the way we've talked about, you don't know them in the way that I've described, this God that is with you, I want to open this altar to you. Or maybe you do know him and you're walking through a broken place and you haven't felt him. I want to open this altar to you. Or maybe if you're just believing God for some amazing things in this new year and you want to start it off right by ending this old one the right way, I want to open this altar to you. As they began to sing, would you come today and seek God with me around this altar as we began to end this year right and go into the new one the right way, connecting to Jesus. attention just for a moment. We've got a few that are going to be baptized today, and I can't think of a better way to finish out the year.
Casimira Sipula, upon the confession of your faith in the Lord's death, burial, resurrection, we now baptize you in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Elijah Arokium, upon the confession of your faith and your willingness to be identified as the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, we now baptize you in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive.
Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.